I want to talk to us this morning about this idea of remaining faithful. Remaining faithful. Now, the Bible is very clear about how one becomes a child of God. It begins by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. After one hears, he must then believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins." After hearing and believing, one must be willing to repent of his sins. In Acts 2:38, well, in Acts 2, there beginning verse 14, Peter began to preach to his audience. We know that they believed, they heard when he preached, they believed because they were cut to the heart and asked what they needed to do. And Peter told them, verse 38, to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. After hearing and believing and repenting, one needs to be willing to confess his faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 tells us that with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. After doing these things, one's ready to be baptized in order to have their sins washed away. Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22:16, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The Lord said in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." This is how we become a child of God. This is how we become a son of God. For you're all sons of God. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:26-27. Now, after one becomes a child of God, it is important that we continue to serve the Lord faithfully. The Lord Jesus made a statement to a faithful church, the church of Smyrna. The church of Smyrna in Revelation 2:9-11, or verses 8-11, was about to face very serious persecution. And the Lord said to them in verse 10 of Revelation 2, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Now, this statement of our Lord no doubt brought great encouragement to a faithful church about to undergo severe persecution. He said, "Be faithful unto death." Even if your earthly life is threatened, even if you are going to have to die and give up your earthly life, in order to be faithful to me, you go ahead and be faithful to me anyway. Now, I want us to see some things about this command. Three things about this command, be faithful unto death. Number one, I want you to see the command. It is a command. The command is to be faithful unto death. Now, the idea is to be faithful in serving the Lord until we die. To stop short is to lose the crown of life. Yes, contrary to what many in religion believe and teach today, one can indeed so sin as to lose his salvation after having become a Christian. In Galatians 6:4, the Apostle Paul addressed Christians who would try to go back to the old law of Moses. And he said, "You have fallen from faith." Now listen, how could Paul speak of folks falling from grace if it is impossible to fall from grace? In 1 Corinthians 10:12, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, if anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall." Now, let me ask a question. Why in the world would the Apostle Paul warn people against falling away if it was impossible to fall away? Listen, my friends, the fact is, it is possible to fall from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is possible, having once received salvation and been saved, to then forfeit that salvation. Look at what James says in James 5:19-20. He said, "Brethren, if anyone among you," so he's talking about Christians, "if anyone among the brethren wanders from the truth and someone turns him back," so we see the possibility of wandering from the truth. And then verse 20, James said, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Save a soul from death? That's right. A brother who wanders from the truth, his soul is destined for eternal punishment. And if someone turns him away from that and back to the truth, they have saved his soul from death. Yes, my friends, it is possible to lose your salvation after becoming a Christian. Therefore, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14, the Hebrew writer said, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. See that little word, if? And so we will become partakers of Christ. We will become partakers of eternal life, of the glories of heaven, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We must be faithful until death. That's the command. The second thing I want you to see here, not only the command, but I want you to see the continuity. The Lord said, be faithful, and then he said, until death. Now this is how long we must faithfully serve the Lord. Stopping short will disqualify us from the crown. God has blessed us with many spiritual blessings in Christ that help to serve us, to help keep us faithful to the Lord, to continue faithfully serving him in our life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Now there are many things that God has blessed us with, spiritual blessings, that help us to remain faithful to the Lord. For example, God has blessed us with his holy word, the Bible. We have the word of God. It has been given to man. It has not been destroyed over these many thousands of years. We still have it today, just as God delivered it. And it is there so that we may know God's will. It is there so that we may read it and understand it and learn it and then implement it into our lives as children of God so that we may faithfully serve the Lord. My brethren, do you read your Bible every day? Acts 17 verse 11. Those folks were called noble-minded because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether the things they heard were so. Do you read your Bible every day, or are you too busy with other things in life? Your soul is in jeopardy. How about prayer? God has blessed us with prayer to help keep us faithful, to pray to God for the strength that we need, for the wisdom that we need to continue to serve him faithfully and to thank him for the many ways that he has blessed us in life. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said to pray without ceasing. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, how we need to pray habitually. Oh, how we need to pray all the time. My brethren, how's your prayer life? Do you pray every day to the Lord? Or do you struggle to mouth off some sleepy prayer just before you fall asleep at night? Some people don't even do that. And those who don't have a strong prayer life, their souls are in jeopardy. You are jeopardizing your possibility of remaining faithful until death. But God hasn't just blessed us with his word, and he hasn't just blessed us with prayer, but he has blessed us with our brethren. He has blessed us with one another in order to strengthen and encourage one another, to hold one another up. We're not to tear one another down. We're not to always be angry with one another, saying spiteful things about one another, whispering behind one another's back, gossiping about one another, criticizing one another, trying to bring one another down. That's not why God gave us one another. He gave us one another in order to exhort us and to encourage us and to strengthen us and to help us remain faithful until death. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, the Hebrew writer says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not to stir up dissension and fights and hatred, but to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we have the assembly of the saints to exhort one another, to build one another up. Do you attend the assembling of the saints, or do you just sit at home all the time? Listen, you cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ unless you are a part of a scriptural church. You can't do it. Because Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, commands you to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He knows that we need this. We need this worship time with our brethren in order to be strong enough to fight the devil. Beware, brethren, Hebrews 3, 12 and 13, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, you can depart from the living God. But look what God has given us to help prevent that. The next verse, verse 13. But exhort one another daily. He's given us one another. Exhort one another daily, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So the Lord said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. We see in this statement the command, be faithful. We see the continuity, until death. And then we see the crown. The Lord said, and I will give you the crown of life. Notice that we must be faithful until death if we're going to receive the crown of life. The crown of life, it stands for eternal life in the glories of heaven. The crown of life is God's ultimate response to our unwavering righteousness. Paul calls it the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Peter calls it the crown of glory in 1 Peter 5, verse 4. James calls it the crown of life in James chapter 1 and verse 12. This is an imperishable crown, but if we don't remain faithful, we'll become disqualified from receiving it. Paul taught that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, the Apostle Paul here, actually contemplating the possibility of he himself losing his salvation. He says in verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now, more than one person's going to heaven. But Paul said, you better serve the Lord as if only one person was going to make it, and you're determined it's going to be you. Verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. He's talking about an earthly race. But we for an imperishable crown. Paul talks about he runs, not with uncertainty. He talks about, verse 27, how he disciplines his body and brings it into subjection. Then he says, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. We can become disqualified from receiving the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, that imperishable crown. Oh, friends, don't become disqualified. Serve the Lord faithfully so that you may finally have that eternal life. Paul said to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul gives us here the key to remaining faithful. Be steadfast. Don't let Satan move you with his temptations. Always abound in the work of the Lord. Don't be lazy. Don't be slothful. Work. Work, for the night is coming. Don't be shirkers. Be workers. Some people are singing, standing on the promises, and all they're doing is sitting on the premises. Paul said, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What's that mean? Well, that means if we serve God faithfully, if we endure the temptations, if we overcome the trials and the tribulations, if we continue to cling steadfastly to our hope, it won't be in vain. You'll have the crown of life. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. We see in that the command, be faithful. We see the continuity until death, and we see the crown, and I will give you the crown of life. Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and this message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You would be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road in Smyrna, Tennessee, right next to the Nissan Fitness Center. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day, and please tune in again next Sunday morning.